Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. As always, Dominic Pachaco. I'm Justin Spears. Thank you for tuning in.
What's up?
What's going on? Halfway through the Pac-12 season.
We're getting there.
The regular season.
Absolutely.
16 games in. We're pretty much at the halfway point. Arizona's 12-4, number 17 in the country. Did we ever think that Arizona would be a double-digit ranking at this point in the season, season?
I think going through it, you and I were talking about what record they could finish this year, and I think the worst I had them was 3 losses maybe at the end of the year. So, no, I didn't think they'd ever be as low as 17, but here we are.
Yeah. Arizona, they lost to Colorado last week. They split the road trip. They beat Utah, I would say, pretty easily. They got up to almost a 20-point lead, and then Utah completely cut it down. They cut it down to a 3-point game, I believe it was. And, again, Utah was just shooting lights out. I mean, it was very hard to stop the Utah onslaught, especially from 3-point range. And then going up against Colorado, it's a noon game. The vibes mm-hmm. just felt weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially Colorado coming off the upset over ASU, it kind of had the making of an upset. And you can't even call it a trap game. There's no excuse for Arizona. They should have beat Colorado. But it almost had that vibe, like you said, going into it, that, okay, maybe something could happen today. Because
yeah.
it just happened a few days earlier against
sure.
ASU. So
sure.
I definitely see that. I think, you know, I mean, what do you see as the Wildcats' biggest problem going forward? I mean, how do they fit? They have a critical homestand coming up here, and we'll talk to Bruce Pasco, get him on the podcast a little bit later to preview that with us. But, I mean, how do they move forward from this?
I mean, Sean Miller said it simply best. That one, they got to get tough,
mm-hmm.
specifically on the defensive end. Let's go ahead and hear what Sean Miller had to say about that.
I can make the case that if you're one of the 5 starters that walks out for the opening tip, isn't it your responsibility to establish this is how we play, to give great effort, set the tone for the younger players and those that don't start the game? And we've done it. We've had plenty of games where we've done it. We've had plenty of games, almost every game, where a portion of that 40 minutes we've played. But I think the defensive numbers that we have right now through 16 games are as much of a direct reflection of how hard we play all the time than it is do we know what to do or our ability level. Maybe our upside, maybe best we can be is a top 50 defensive team. I aspire to get our team to that number.
So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely struggling defensively. I was looking over at the KenPom rankings, mm-hmm. and currently they're 116th. In adjusted defensive efficiency. When you think of Sean Miller teams and all the great teams that he's had, I mean, not just at Arizona, but even at Xavier,
mm-hmm.
he was always tough-minded defensive basketball. Ryan Finley, our sports editor, who did a video with Greg Hansen that's available on the Wildcaster and Tucson.com, you should definitely check it out. He said it best. Sean Miller brought over Big East basketball and played it in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
He brought in dudes like Kevin Parham, Jesse Perry. I mean, so many tough-minded guys.
Rondae
Hollis-Jefferson, Momo Jones. There was a lot of guys that were just going to just come at you. They were going to give you everything that they got. And they might slap you around a little bit. However, That's what got it done. Arizona wasn't going to simply score the ball. They were just going to stop the other team from scoring the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And luck, hopefully, they'll get some points. That's how Sean Miller and his teams have always done it. This year's team is completely different because I simply don't know. You have Alonzo Trier, you have DeAndre Ayton, you have Raleigh Alkins, you have all of these guys that are scorers. You're going to even add in Brandon Randolph into that mix. You have all these guys that are scorers, but they don't play any defense. There is not that it factor where Arizona could rely on to get a defensive stop.
Mm-hmm.
I somehow see it being Raleigh, just because we talk about Big East basketball. He's the East Coast guy. He's the Stanley Johnson guy, where he's got a big body and stuff like that.
He can play the wing.
But I just don't see it right now.
I mean, that's the problem, and you referenced Sean Miller, what he was saying. That effort level has to be there, and they're not going to suddenly overnight play great defense. You know, they're not going to come into this series against Oregon this week and all of a sudden be a great defensive team. It's not going to happen. So if that process doesn't start now, if that process doesn't start a month ago, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, come March and come tournament time in Pac-12 and Vegas and rolling into the NCAA tournament, that effort level has to be there for them to get better. And if it's not there now, I don't know when it's going to show up. Talking about defense, the one thing that kind of irked me the wrong way, after Arizona lost to Colorado, whenever Arizona loses, and I think you can attest to this, all the fans' jerk reaction is,
the sky's falling.
Yeah, the sky's falling, but Sean Miller, they need a new coach. Sean Miller should be fired. He can't coach against the zone. And it's like, okay, where were you two nights ago when Arizona shot 50% against a zone in Utah? A better zone at that. I mean, sure, Arizona had an off-shooting night, shot 38% against Colorado, 28% from behind the arc. Sure, it was a terrible shooting day, and they're going to have those performances. And you could probably divvy that up to, I mean, give Colorado a little bit of credit for bringing the pressure and playing good zone defense against Arizona. But you look at Arizona's offense, that's not what worries me. I mean, if you're, after every Arizona loss this year, if you're going on social media complaining about the offense, the Wildcats are near the top in every offensive category. They're third in scoring offense. They're third in scoring margin, first in field goal percentage, and their second three-point field goal percentage. And those numbers are consistent year to year. Those aren't anything new. Arizona's offense has traditionally been good. I think they have a lot more weapons this year, obviously DeAndre Ayton. But their defense is where the problem's at right now. They're going to go as far as this defense gets them. And sure, they're going to run into tough zones down the stretch, and it's going to be a problem. But that's never going to be, in my mind, the reason why they lose a game this year. It's going to be the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they're, 116th in KenPom's defensive efficiency? I mean, they are fourth in scoring defense in Pac-12, so not bad. But then you go down to field goal percentage, and they dip to seventh. In defensive field goal percentage, and in three-point defensive percentage, they go down to 10th. So they're not playing good defense, and that's what I'm going to point my finger to every single loss this year. I mean, you saw Utah get hot. That's what brought Utah back in the game, was they started hitting shots. Arizona wasn't missing. They shot, I think, 51% in the first half, like 47, 48 in the second half. Mm-hmm. Utah just got hot, and Arizona couldn't stop them. So, mm-hmm. like I said, they're going to go as far as their defense can go. It's not, they're not going to lose games because of Parker Jackson Cartwright or because of Sean Miller not knowing how to coach against his own defense. It's going to be because of the effort level on the defensive side.
Which, by the way, you bring up Parker Jackson Cartwright. He's been receiving a lot of criticism. I mean, I'm not going to single-handedly point out who's been giving him some criticism, but people have been saying that Arizona can't win without PJC as their point guard. Which I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, you really don't need PJC to do what people want him to do, and that's score the basketball. He's got to be able to facilitate and not turn over the ball. So I'm serious. PJC on an average night will get you 5 assists and maybe 1 turnover or 0 turnovers. I think Parker Jackson Cartwright is playing the exact game that Arizona needs him to play. Now, going on to the next topic. One thing that Sean Miller said that was very interesting after the Colorado game, saying that he said that I just can't get to these guys. I can't get them to play for me.
Mm-hmm.
he's never really had a team like this in the past. He brought up the 2014-15 team with Stanley Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, T.J. McConnell. But, I mean, you never heard Sean Miller say that about that team because they only lost three times during the entire regular season. Never heard him once say this before. I'm going to bring something up. Dom, you can tell me that I'm reaching. This is where you're starting to see Book Richardson's absence. Because Book Richardson was always Uncle Book. He was a guy on the sideline where Sean Miller was coaching. Book was getting these guys to calm down. He was getting them to really settle in to their role as a Wildcat, as a member of their team. Mm-hmm. Now, the first year with him being gone, now all of a sudden we're starting to see problems. We're starting to see lack of effort, lack of defense. Dom, I could be reaching, man, but this is just what I see.
I don't think it's a bad call. I mean, I think what we struggle to do is pinpoint, and obviously Sean Miller's struggling more than anybody, but we're struggling to pinpoint a source of their lack of effort. I mean, like you said, never has Sean Miller came out and said, this team's not showing any effort, or this team isn't trying hard enough, they don't want to be out there, or I'm having a hard time getting through to these guys. He's never came out and said that before. I mean, I'll challenge all of our listeners to go out and find me.
Challenge you.
Yeah, find me one scenario where Sean Miller criticizes the effort level on defense. I mean, it's never been a problem. So, Book Richardson, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how, I mean, we can paint him as being the glue of the team. I don't know how true it is. I don't know if anyone will ever know that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good place to point your fingers. I mean, and you look at the defensive side of the ball. I mean, guys like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who from Brooklyn, close with Book Richardson, guys like that who already had that established relationship with Books.
He's from Chester, Pennsylvania, which is, like, close. It's close to New York.
Did he go to school in Brooklyn?
He plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
Maybe. He's got Brooklyn ties now. But, that, I mean, so I don't think it's a reach. I just don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that. But I think that's what we're trying to do is pinpoint where their lack of effort comes from. Because it's obviously been an issue since day one. We've been talking about it all year. And Sean Miller is continuing to say it. And it's coming out after every single loss. And now he's just straight up said what we all could have imagined. He's having a hard time getting through to the guys. And that's not something you want to hear from a team you expected to be in the Final Four at the beginning of the year on January 10th, halfway through the season.
You know what? Let's go ahead and hear from basketball beat writer Bruce Pascoe.
Hello, my name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
Thanks for joining us, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
All right, Bruce, so another week for you. However, you return home. You are not traveling in between Boulder and Salt Lake City. Does it kind of feel nice to get that road trip out of the way?
Oh, I like that. I mean, all these trips are great in the Pac-12. It's like a country club league. I mean, they're all great cities, and I like traveling, and I like snow, and so it's all good to me. It's just it's a little tiring, but, you know, it's all good.
Oh, you like snow. We'll have to agree to disagree on that.
And there actually wasn't much last week. It was like there's like nothing in town, and I think the ski areas were like 2 feet or something. It was pretty bad, but, you know, I think it's snowing up there now.
All right, Bruce. Well, Arizona is now 2-1 in conference play. They move back down to number 17 in the AP poll. One thing that Dom and I really talked about was Sean Miller's comments. I mean, not so much, or we can't talk about that. After the game, he said that against Colorado, he said that he couldn't get his guys to play for him. And Bruce, I told Dominic the same exact thing. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And please tell me if I'm reaching, but I've never heard Sean Miller say this about any other team in the past. And I just think it's very ironic that it's the same year that Book Richardson is not on the coaching staff. Do you think that's a good point, or am I reaching?
I don't think you're reaching. I don't think there's any way to say for sure, but certainly got to raise that question. I mean, I think... Yeah, I've always thought of Book as a guy who was really good with guys who maybe were down, maybe Miller was yelling at him or whatever, and he kind of picked him up that way. Everybody liked him, and so there was that piece. But that is an interesting point. I don't know, but it's certainly a question worth raising. I mean, I think it's also a function of the personalities on this team maybe are a little bit different, and you know, I'm not – even though he is kind of blaming himself, he's also saying, basically, they're not listening to me. I'm doing the same thing for the last 9 years. Why is this team not listening to me? You know, so maybe there's just a different group of guys. But that's a real possibility. That at least that's a factor you got to think, yeah.
So, Bruce, looking ahead to Oregon State this week, playing on Thursday at 7 p.m. in McHale, it's kind of a weird matchup because Oregon State ranks almost they rank dead last in scoring offense, but they're number one in the Pac-12 in scoring defense, which kind of works out for Arizona in the sense that their defense is really bad and their offense is really good. What do you see as some of the struggles that Arizona's going to have coming off of the loss to Colorado?
Well, that's interesting. Oregon State, I mean, you know, I think Miller made the point that they're a lot better than they were at the beginning of the year, and it really is kind of hard to judge them on what they did earlier. But if you look at those three home games they had in the Pac-12, they've been pretty good, and the defense was really good. Overall, their defense is really not that great. It's sort of mediocre, and their pace is really slow, and it's like, yeah, you know. But I think lately they've been pretty good. They've adjusted. They lost their point guard, Ja'Cory McLaughlin, quit the team after six games, and that was an adjustment. And they've basically been having the Thompson brothers kind of share the ball a lot in the backcourt, and they're both great scoring guards, but I don't think either one is the true DNA of a point guard or whatever. So they've got a little bit of adjustment there, but they're getting that, and they have, you know, pretty good, two pretty good big guys with Trice Tinkle and Drew Eubank as well. So they're you know, and they're experienced, and yeah, they've been playing well. You know, and historically they've been not as good on the road though. So, and they haven't been on the road in Pac-12 yet. So, we'll see what they have on Thursday. But you know, it's hard to say. It could be an interesting matchup. I kind of think, I don't know. The thing that struck me was just that their front court against DeAndre Ayton, and what are they going to do to him, and can they score? They're pretty good, crafty, you know, versatile scorers, those big guys that they have, but they're also 2-3 inches shorter than Ayton is, so we'll see how that goes.
That's always the problem, is can they guard DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah. Well, who was it? One of the commentators said they're just like bounce off, you know, like flies or something, like they're not even there or something, yeah, when they try and defend Ayton. I mean, that could be the way it is, but I wonder, can Oregon State, with their guys that are a little smarter, they're a little more experienced, and they also can play some zone. I mean, I wonder what they're going to throw out there Thursday, and you know, maybe make it interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, we just talked about, Justin and I just talked about this before you got you on the phone a little bit. But I mean, we're halfway through the season now. It's 16 games. They're 12-4, kind of getting into the bulk of the Pac-12 schedule now. What's the biggest problem facing this team? Because we've talked all year about effort level. Their intensity on defense, and obviously Arizona fans are always talking about Miller against the zone D. Is it offense? Is it when they do get zoned up, not being able to score as easily as they do a lot of the time? Is that an issue, or is it really defense that's going to prevail throughout the year?
Well, yeah, I think both of those. I mean, historically over Miller's tenure, they've been really good in defense, and zone offense has almost always been not so great. I mean, you got to point to something that, you know, offensively, this is a pretty good team. So they're, you know, but they do have trouble occasionally against the zone. They've shown also some good teams, and they've handled it pretty well. They didn't handle it well against Colorado, and, you know, that may have been a carryover from the other side of the court where they were just kind of out of it, especially early defensively. And then, you know, then it does kind of carry over to offense, I think. So there's that. But I don't know. I mean, you look at this team and you're like, it's, you know, a lot of it's just got to be effort, because this team is really, really good, or really, really talented, and maybe not quite the top five defensive team that Sean Miller had at 14 and 15 or 13 mm-hmm. and 14 or whatever, but they're up there. I mean, but offensively, this is a top five team, and so how do they deal with that? But, you know, the way they're, you know, certainly the way Sean Miller's looking at it is they're not playing defense, and he believes, as good as you are offensively, if you don't have that defense in place, you're going to have some nights when your offense is off, and that's a little bit what happened at Colorado. Their offense was not quite in place, but not because they weren't hitting threes or whatever. I mean, that was a little part of it, but just because they were just kind of dysfunctional against the zone, and then, you know, on the other hand, they didn't stop Colorado early, and it really caught up to them. So, I don't know. I guess the number one thing is you'd have to think maybe this team needs to get a little better, a little more consistent defensively. It maybe doesn't need to be a top five team because of their offense, but I would think maybe top 25, top 30 if they really want to go deep in March and April.
I mean, Sean Miller's talking about this team. He said in the press conference earlier this week that if they can be a top 50 team, that's what he aspires
that's
to be.
Goal.
So yeah, I mean that's kind of yeah.
And that's a compromise for him because he's usually right. Like all my teams have to be top 10, you know, or whatever. But I think he realizes, as much as he's a defensive coach, I think he realizes, hey, this team is really good offensively, but we need to at least be a little better defensively. And you're right. So if they can hit the top 50, maybe, you know, maybe that can work too. But I certainly would like that more than that. But I think right now they're at, like, if you look on KenPom, I think they're 76 or something.
They moved up.
Just not cutting it yet.
Are you looking at defensive? I don't know what stat you're looking at. But.
Yeah.
That defensive efficiency, that's usually what he's quoting, which is the amount of points you give up per 100 possessions. And I believe it's around 99 right now. They typically can get into the mid to low 90s when they're really on it.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at it could have been after the Utah game when they were actually like in the 100s or something like that. They were down.
They're 79th in adjusted defensive efficiency according to KenPom right now.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So,
yeah.
Bruce, one thing that I really took away from Monday's press conference was Parker Jackson Cartwright. I mean, I've never seen him get grilled with so much, but even though it wasn't even like really harsh. It was just, you know, something that he had to answer. We're not going to single-handedly point anybody out, but he's been receiving a lot of criticism, and even one tweet that went out that said Arizona can't win with PJC as its point guard. And, I mean, he was just getting asked questions left and right about it, and I think he handled it pretty well. What'd you take away from that?
Yeah, no, he's tough. He's got a little bit of a thick skin about that. He's a veteran guy. He's been around that, and he knows. I mean, he's a human like everybody. I'm sure he's heard people say stuff like that, even before it was on Twitter with Jeff Goodman. I mean, I even heard today on the satellite radio that Seth Greenberg basically said the same thing. He said that Arizona's really good, but I'm not sure how far they could go with the point guard situation there. Almost the same exact words. So he's hearing this stuff. We're just asking him his reaction, and, you know, he is he's a very mature guy. So he can handle that. I remember when he was in high school, he got in trouble academically, and he went to his dad and he complained that he wanted to go back and apologize to his school and his teammates. I mean, he's a stand-up guy, you know, and that's there's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, whether or not he's the point guard everybody wants, yeah, maybe not. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Mustafa Shakur, but when 12, 13 years ago was kind of, you know, almost in that mold. He was really highly recruited out of high school, really, you know, pretty good true point guard, but maybe disappointed some people because he wasn't Mike Bibby or whatever, or Miles Simon or whatever. And, you know, it's just really hard. You're always under pressure as a point guard in basketball, but it does seem like it's even a little more elevated to Arizona. So I think what we're seeing is Parker's been through this for 4 years now, and he's just like, yeah, that's the way it is. And, you know, and he basically said, he said, you know, I needed to play better. He wasn't even offended. I thought maybe he'd be offended the way after Colorado, where Sean Miller didn't criticize him directly, but went out of his way three different times to talk about how great McKinley Wright was on the other side as a point guard for Colorado. And I asked him if he took that personally. He said, yeah, you know, I should play better. McKinley Wright was better than I was, that kind of thing. I mean, that's a stand-up guy for you. So
He's a senior point guard too. So I think that's kind of, I mean, he's got the head on his shoulders for it. But I just find it interesting that I didn't hear that quote from Greenberg, but guys like him and Jeff Goodman, and it's just, I don't get why all of the criticism is coming down on Parker. I don't know if it's because he's a senior or because he's a point guard and they expect more from that. But, I mean, he leads the Pac-12 in assist-to-turnover ratio, which is exactly what we've been saying Arizona needs him to do all year. He's not turning the ball over, and he's spreading it across the court.
Because it's a scapegoat. He's a 5'9" point guard on a team that's loaded with NBA talent. with the exception of Dusan Ristic. So when you look at a team that's struggling, you're going to point your finger, oh, is it the preseason All-American guard in Alonzo Trier, or is it the potential number one overall pick in DeAndre Ayton? There's no way it could be Raleigh Alkins, and Dusan Ristic is a seven-footer, so who are they going to put it on? It's going to be all on Parker, the guy who facilitates the game.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's a really good assist to turnover guy. He's a careful shooter. He's been at the top of the Pac-12 in 3-point shooting the last 3 years. Probably will be again this year. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could argue, well, this team is not more connected and more efficient. But that's pretty hard. I mean, Miller even said himself, I believe, before the Colorado trip, he said, he's the perfect point guard for this team because they have four different. Every other one of the four starters is a powerful offensive talent in himself. So why do you need Parker to be that explosive as a scorer? You need him to just keep it all together. The biggest weakness I think he's had over the years has been his size, which you can't do anything about. And that's on the defensive end, because every now and then you see him switched out on a 6'3 guy or something who will hit a 3-pointer over him or something like that. That's just the way it is. But offensively, I don't think there's a whole lot to complain about.
All right, Bruce. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. We know you got some other Bruce things to attend to, like walk a dog, right?
No, that's not important. I can always wait.
The dog can wait. The listeners can't.
Exactly. It's a beautiful night. We're good.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bruce, for coming on.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Cool. Take care.
All right. Special thanks to Arizona Daily Star's Bruce Pasco for jumping on the podcast, always spitting some hot fire with us. I think it's pretty safe to say that Arizona's going to put in some work against Oregon State, right?
You would think. Number one defense is going to be tough, but it'll be a good test for where Arizona stands offensively, and their defense should be able to go to town against a pretty mediocre, at best, Oregon State offense.
I'm assuming we're not getting Bill Walton this week on the call.
I don't think we are. I read something from, I don't know if it was Bruce, it had to be Bruce, about how they're not getting, we don't have a lot of games scheduled with Bill Walton the rest of the year. So what you can do is follow the Wildcaster for your in-game entertainment. When Bill Walton's not there, you know who to follow.
When he's not talking about Saguaros and lateral movements and...
We don't have a lot of info on the axial tilt, but we can repost some tweets from Bill Walton.
Download the Wildcaster app, follow us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. For Dominic, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.